This is an epilogue. Forget not, once this journey is begun, that the end is certain. Doubt along the way will come and go to come again. Yet is the ending sure. No one can fail to do what God appointed him to do. When you forget, remember that you walk with him and with his word upon your heart. Who could despair when hope like this is his? Illusions of despair may seem to come, but learn how not to be deceived by them. Behind each one, there is reality and there is God. Why would you wait for this and trade it for illusions when his love is but an instant further on the road where all illusions end? Look, the end is sure and guaranteed by God. Who would stand before a lifeless image when a step away, the Holy of the Holiest opens up an ancient door that leads beyond the world? You're a stranger here, but you belong to him who loves you as he loves himself. Ask but my help to roll the stone away, and it is done according to his will. We have begun the journey. Long ago, the end was written in the stars and set into the heavens with a shining ray that held it safe within eternity and through all time as well, and holds it still, unchanged, unchanging, and unchangeable. Don't be afraid. We only start again an ancient journey, long ago begun, that but seems new. We have begun again upon a road we traveled on before, and we lost our way a little while, didn't we? And now we try again, and our new beginning has the certainty that the journey lacked till now. Look up and see his word among the stars, where he has set your name along with his. Look up and find your certain destiny that the world would hide, but God would have you see. Let us wait here in silence and kneel down an instant in our gratitude to him who called to us and helped us hear his call. And then let us arise and go in faith along the way to him. Now we are sure that we do not walk alone, for God is here, and with him all of our brothers. Now we know that we will never lose the way again. The song begins again, which had been stopped only an instant, though it seemed to be unsung forever. What is here begun will grow in life and strength and hope until the world is still an instant and forgets all that the dream of sin has made of it. Let us go out and meet the newborn day, knowing that Christ has been reborn in it, and that the holiness of this rebirth will last forever. We had lost our way, but he had found it for us. Let us go and bid him welcome, who returns to us to celebrate salvation and the end of all we thought we made. And the morning star of this new day looks on a different world, where God is welcome and his Son with him. And we who complete him offer thanks to him as he gives thanks to us. And the sun is still, and in the quiet God has given him, enters his home and is at peace at last. I have a story to tell. It's a story in the compensation that we just read that this story is now over, and that I have prevailed on you to come back with me in an idea that I am a teacher of an idea of escaping from the bondage of the idea of an enclosure. Now, look with me. The manner in which I intend to compensate for the illusion can include virtually anything. I suddenly found myself, and it's really interesting and I love to do it, with the idea, would you believe that I found myself, what does that say?
Pie.
Pie. I found myself with the idea of pie. Now, I have an idea of pie as being somehow a Persian anecdote that I have seen written somewhere within compensation. What does that say?
The ruins of the heart.
The ruins of the heart is connected to the pie of my mind? Yeah. May I have the privilege of offering you from the University of Wisconsin, where I went to school some 125 years ago, or 150 or 200, so that I would be allowed to teach you a secret little book that I'm carrying. May I sit down? I'm going to sit down. I'm carrying with me a secret little book, say, and I found myself down in Madison, and I had gone to the university in compensation for the idea that I'm teaching the action of the conversion of my mind in an effort to convey to you the idea, and I love it, in the idea that I would take a particular word, all right, in the understanding of the mechanics of the idea of pi, all right, which is a certain mathematical term that implies a derivative that can never be arrived at with the certainty, because the basis of its reality is its retention of uncertainty. There isn't anything new about it. What I would describe to you in pi is the simple idea, for example, and I'm going to use the ruins of the heart with Rumney, all right? Because the mind that I'm offering you will always be a compensation for, and this has to do with the stories we've been telling each other for a long time. Shall we practice a little bit? What's the name of that movie you're going to see on Friday?
The Da Vinci Code.
The idea of the Da Vinci Code is so beautifully presented in an essay by Ralph Waldo Emerson that it's frightening. Yet you like to make the connection of the action of the mind without the duplicity that the idea that Ralph Waldo Emerson teaches in his essays, the practice of the moral valuation of compensation, now say to me, giving.
Giving.
Yeah, there is no question that the Da Vinci Code teaches that the act of giving will give secret compensation based on evidence that include both attack and forgiveness within the nature. Here, I'll read just an opening of the idea of Emerson, and we'll do a comparison with it in the idea that I'm here in Madison. Will you listen with me? This is the idea of the probably about 1884, in the idea that the relationship of the time, I'm described as a teacher. Okay, what I do is compensate within my mind for the possibility of the singularity of a reality that cannot be denied, all right, except by an observation that there is another manner in which I may look at my apparent containment within time. This is as good as the essays of Ralph Waldo Emerson will ever be. You listen with me. One man more who knows and believes a very certainty that man's soul is still alive, that God's universe is still godlike, that all of ages of miracles ever seen or dreamed of, by far the most miraculous, is this age in this hour. And this has to do with Ralph Waldo Emerson, who was born May the 25th, 1803, and died April 27th in 1882. From the day that his works began to the days of his death, he taught and inspired men. He taught them to think and to believe in each other and in eternal justice. He inspired in them love of nature and friendship for each other. There should not be the word stranger in any language. All of Ralph Waldo Emerson's career rebukes despondency and hopelessness and teaches the inevitability of your perfection. To convince you that it is worth your while to read Emerson and become acquainted with a little thought book that I brought with me, a few quotations are going to suffice. God screens us evermore from premature ideas. What an amazing idea. It's the entirety of my teaching. Our eyes are holden that we cannot see things that stare us in the face until the hour arrives when the mind is ripened. Then we behold them, and the time when we saw them not is like a dream. Listen, it is impossible for a man to be cheated by anything but oneself. Can you get that idea? You listen with me now about what the old man likes to teach. Speech is power. Speech is to persuade, to convert, to compel. It is to bring another out of his bad sense into your good sense. You are to be missionary and carrier of all that is good and noble. Virtues speak to virtues, vices to vice, each to their own kind in the people with whom they deal. Are you listening with me? Debt. Grinding debt, whose iron face the widow, the orphan, and the sons of genius fear and hate. Debt which consumes so much time, which so cripples and disheartens a great spirit, with cares that seem so base, is a preceptor whose lessons cannot be foregone. Listen, I can do that by another, which I cannot do alone. I can say to you what I cannot first say to myself. It was a high counsel that I once heard given to a young person. Always do what you are afraid to do. Are you ready for that? The good are befriended even by weakness and defect, as no man has ever a point of pride that was not injurious to him, so no man has ever a defect that was not somewhere made useful to him. The stag in the fable admired his horns and blamed his feet, but when the hunter came, his feet saved him, and afterward, caught in the thicket, his horns destroyed him. Listen, misunderstood. It is a right fool's word. It is so bad than to be misunderstood, that we're always dealing with ideas of the possibility that we're always misunderstood, and that our compensation from Ralph Waldo say, I learned the wisdom of Saint Bernard. Nothing can work me damage except myself. The harm that I sustain, I carry about with me, and never am a real sufferer but by my own verses, in which I am compensating for the idea that I had the privilege of reading to you ideas of exchanges of compensation, of what we intend to do, in the idea that it's possible for me to describe ideas in my mind. concerning when I sat down with you and began to read you Ralph Waldo Emerson, that in effect the compensation of the pie that I was offering you were conclusions that I inevitably reached about decisions that I actively made, that I'm offering you actively now within our relationship, let's say the movie that you just saw, in which a great story is going to be told without regard to what the compensation for the story is, except in what you're willing to give it, in the value that you give yourself, in the singularity of the acceptance of the responsibility that the idea of pi, all right, in the mathematic formula, and this is as old as Ralph Waldo gets, in the idea of Emerson and in the idea of, what does that say again?
Ruins of the heart.
By who?
Rumi.
By Rumi. Why, my goodness, that goes back to the 12th century. This is an idea of the compensation that sounds very much like Ralph Waldo Emerson. As a matter of fact, it sounds very much like your willingness to understand, say to me, compensation.
Compensation.
That the whole entirety of this video is going to be, it's impossible if I am in space-time that I am not feeling at this time an action of compensation. All right, now some of you are going to say to me, here, I'm here in Madison, I've come in and you're gathered around with me. There isn't any question that all of you are receiving compensation for the value that you've given yourself in ideas you have about the formulation of yourself. The problem that you have in the progress that you're making in the idea of pi is that no matter how many compensations you reach, the question concerning what you actually are is always being opened by you, yes or no. Now say to me, pi.
Pi.
Yes. The idea that no matter how many times you attempt to defy the certainty of what appears to be the causation of one, the moment you attempt to divide it into something or to recognize it in its entirety, it becomes a form of pi. I can offer you some real dramatic proof of it. If you've decided you really would like the rhetoric of the possibility that in the ruins of the heart, in the 12th century, the love that I'm feeling for you is a form of a compensation of an idea, of a momentary recognition of love, which is fundamentally what pi is. Because each time I reach a conclusion about my association, it's an indication that I had previously, either in past or future reference, separated within the idea of the compensation of my mind, the idea of a temporal notation of ideas concerning my body formulation that have allowed me to reach a very happy conclusion. This is what pi is. Now, since I'm going to examine it and stretch it and continue to stretch it into a long length of time, what I'm going to do in compensation for pi with Rumi is read you a little bit, and this obviously is a concern of the new testimony of the stories we're telling each other about the compensation of reflection of lights that we're getting in the idea that when I showed you the, remember, what does this say?
Information in the holographic.
Yes, when I came into this compensation of reflection of light, I offered you the idea of pi, the idea of a great storyline that I may learn in repetition of myself, and an idea of an essay written with a great deal of love in the particulars of a man who has a name, all right, in the idea that the formulation of that body becomes an inevitable conclusion concerning the mind which formulates it in the notation of that. This is a place here in Madison that you have come at this time. And instead of teaching some sort of Christianity, I appear to be teaching Rumi. I appear to be teaching an ancient text about a prophet who is going to fulfill the advocacy that he's offering to you. Listen with me real quick. Love is reckless, not reason. Reason seeks a prophet. Love comes on strong, consuming herself unabashed. Yet in the midst of suffering, love proceeds like a millstone, hard-surfaced and straightforward. Having died to self-interest, she risks everything and asks for nothing. Love gambles away every gift that God bestows. Without cause, God gave us being. Without cause, gave it back again. Gambling yourself away is beyond any religion. Religion seeks grace and favor, but those who gamble these away are God's favorites, for they neither put God to the test nor knock at the door of gain or of loss of themselves. Sing this with me. The man of God is drunken while sober. The man of God is full without meat. The man of God is perplexed and bewildered. The man of God neither sleeps nor eats. The man of God is a king clothed in rags. The man of God is a treasure in the streets. The man of God is neither of sky nor land. The man of God is neither of fire nor sea. The man of God is an ocean without end. The man of God drops pearls at your feet. The man of God has 100 moons at night. The man of God has 100 suns' light. The man of God's knowledge is complete. The man of God doesn't read with his sight. The man of God is beyond form and disbelief. The man of God sees good and bad alike. The man of God is far beyond non-being. The man of God is seen riding high. The man of God is hidden. The man of God you must seek and find within your mind and within your heart has to do with your notation of the ideas that the knowledge of yourself in the compensation that you continually receive in the idea of a search for a singularity will always involve the compensation that I give by my willingness to give what I possess within my own mind away to you. In the knowledge, and I'm going to use the term about God-man, that God only gives. That is the compensation of the universe in the knowledge of the life of self-awareness. And I'm going to use you, we're going to take a break here, where there's a distance between us, where we're going to attempt to increase a frequency of light, where the idea that an old reference that's contained within this Rumi, contained within the idea of pi, is a compensation that is unique in the faculty of the idea of what I am in my relationship with God. So we practice just from him. Say me, I'm God.
I'm God.
Well, go. Now, the idea when you were 6 years old that you were taught that the universe, the trees, the birds, the singing, the happiness, the going to school, we're all included in with God, is actually the simplicity of the teaching. The manner in which you arrive at the knowledge of the extension of you within the idea of pi is the simple knowledge that the distance between what you have given away and what God has given you is actually a compensation of an awareness of the totality of you that becomes the totality of an idea of what you are. I'll be right back. Watch this. There you are. Now, did you adjust to the idea of that? Yes. I'm going to leave you a moment. When I come back, right here in Madison, those of you, I'm going to go to the board and I'm going to draw you a picture of pi and the manner in which you can compensate the idea of the circle of yourself. I'll be right back. When that April with a surely sote, the drouth of March is pierced to the rote and bathed every vein in switch liqueur, of which venue engendered is the flow. When that April with a surely sote, the drouth of March is pierced to the rote and bathed every vein in a young sun half in the mom is half a course of which venue engendered make a melody. When that April with a surely sote, the drouth of March is pierced to the rote and bathed every vein in a young sun half of which venues engenders make a melody to Fermi have no Zephyr's sons belong to him and especially from every shining on the foot of Endelord to any young son of Pomeroy's the coolie blissful march of foolers make a melody to Fermi have hope and no way where they want to soar within nature and especially from every shining on the foot of Endelord to Canterbury and Pomeroy's for the sake the hooty blissful master on port to say to the Fermi and hope of knowing where they want to seek within the idea and especially from every shire endure of Endelord to Canterbury they wandered the hooty blissful martyr for to say that him hath hopen where they were to seek within the idea of their reality.
This is the one moment that I never thought I could live through. But now somehow that it's here, my dear, that foolish fear disappears. And saying goodbye seems sweet. It's plain that fate didn't want us on a one-way street. Don't worry about me. Happy, my love. Let's say that our little show is over, and so the story ends. Why not call it a day? The sensible way. And still be friends. Look out for yourself. Should always be the rule. why should we cling to some fading thing that you
for those who have not yet rejoined us. I no longer wish to meet a good I do not earn. For example, to find a pot of buried gold, knowing that it brings with it new responsibilities. I don't want it. I want a compensation from God. I do not wish more external goods, neither possessions, nor honors, nor powers, nor persons. The gain is apparent. The tax is certain. But there is no tax on the knowledge that the compensation exists and that it is not desirable to dig up treasures. Therein, I rejoice with a serene eternal peace. I contact the boundaries of possible mischief. I learn the wisdom of Saint Bernard. He says, nothing can work me damage except myself. The harm that I sustain, I carry about with me. And never am a real sufferer, but by my own fault. Look with me. In the nature of the soul is the compensation for the inequities of condition from which I suffer. The radical tragedy of nature seems to be the distinction of more and less. How can less not feel the pain? How not feel indignation towards more or the possession of less? Look at those who have less faculty and one feels sad or knows not well what to make of it. He almost shuns their eyes. He fears they will upbraid God. What should they do? It seems a great injustice, but see the facts nearly, and these mountainous inequities will vanish. Love reduces them as the sun melts the iceberg in the sea. The heart and soul of all men being one, this bitterness of his and mine ceases because his is mine. I am my brother and my brother is me. If I feel overshadowed and not done by great neighbors, I can love, I can still receive, and he that loveth maketh his own the grandeur that he loves. Thereby I make the discovery that my brother is my guardian, acting for me with the friendliest design, and the estate I so admire and envied is actually my own. It is the eternal nature of the soul to appropriate and make all things its own. What an amazing idea. Jesus and Shakespeare are fragments of the soul, and by love, I conquer and incorporate them in my own conscious domain. His virtue is not the same as mine. Is not his wit the same idea that I have about myself? Have you been with me in the idea that we have come together at this particular time and in this particular place to acknowledge that while the compensation that I have heretofore received in the idea, and I'm staying with the idea of what is pi, is the idea of the action of my mind in reaching conclusions that immediately become a part of a past experience that I have, all right, in reference to a future goal that is other, I hope, in my teaching, than the one that I have heretofore been gratified by. No. The idea that I'm going to teach just for a moment, may I? I'm going to teach just a little compensation. What I'm going to offer you is not anything that you do not already know, but I'm going to offer it from a faculty of the reasonableness of a decision. Let's say that I'm going to reach with Romney, okay, in regard to an idea of the possibility, which is one of his major teachings, that the mathematic possibility of an accumulation of solution that while gratifying in the idea of the fulfillment of prophecy, always included since man became Homo sapien, the idea that there is a greater compensation in an act at the moment of giving, okay, that are other than the act of receiving. Do you see that? The compensation that you suffer from in your condition of pie is a belief that the action of your mind in the singularity of yourself is not dividable by the nature of what you are, and we're using the idea of your consciousness, of God. And through the division of it, you arrive at a compensation of a distance. I'm going to teach for a moment because my mind is an illuminate mind. I'm going to teach between the idea that when I just saw you there, and the idea of the compensation of Ralph Waldo Emerson in an essay that I would love to read to you about compensation that has to do with the idea of circles. One of the great mathematic principles of Ralph Waldo Emerson is an essay on circles in which he describes to you in a relationship of a singularity of the idea of time that no matter how far you go out into the universe in compensation for the idea of the comprehension of yourself in a direction of receiving, all right, you always end up back exactly where you started. Because the alternative to not ending up where you started, this is now the idea of pi, isn't it? This is what this says. No matter how many times I extend the idea of a division of a notation of singularity, the idea that I allow for a distance between it, all right, say to me, will be what pi is. Say it.
Will be what pi is.
Of course. Fundamentally, if there is more than a single idea about myself, and this is in the stem cell research that I'm offering you in the compensation that no matter how much I accumulate in the nature of myself, the power of love that I'm feeling and sharing, say to me, in an action of giving. Oh, sure. Here's the surprising thing about it, and this is much contained in Pi. I don't have to know what the compensation is. If I begin to read what Pi apparently is, I can read it forever. I would have to just keep on reading the idea that the compensation I am receiving, and I can use the word eternal if I want to. The problem with using the word eternal is that in the idea of the duplicity of a circle, of a continuation of a galactic association, now I'm going to teach, I'm going to end up exactly where I started. And what I'm offering you here, right now, in Madison, in where I'm going to be, in where you are gathering together when you came into this classroom with questions about what you wanted to see, that the time and the place in which you were successful at an idea of the entire compensation of who you are in reality is going to be who you are in reality, very simply because there's only one of us. Now, the recognition of the idea, and here's the difficulty that I encounter in stem cell research. The idea that there's only going to be one of us have until now precluded the idea of the singularity that if this is true, in the idea of pi, and I certainly have arrived at it from a math standpoint, that if I let this represent one idea and this represent another, the distance in between the two cannot not be a third idea. Yet if I cannot recognize the idea, it will remain, and we use the term tachyon field of energy. We use a compensation that the idea of light that you are being shown have allowed you to come into this idea of a workshop where we're going to compensate each other in the idea that the essay of Ralph Waldo Emerson about circles can offer you every compensation that you could possibly want in the idea of pi. Will you listen with me? Will you listen with me about the reasonableness that suddenly you begin to have experiences in the awakening of the compensation of yourself and the notation that you have indeed decided that what you wanted to find out, you were actually carrying in your pocket, and you're going to open it up just for a minute with Ralph Waldo and read about the idea of pi, or perhaps the ancient 12th century idea that God is going to be God in the fulfilling of a prophecy of the eventuality of a completion that has already been accomplished, that's ours to enjoy at this moment. Listen with me about an essay by Ralph Waldo Emerson. About circles. Do not set the least value on what I do, or the least discredit on what I do not, as if I pretended to settle anything as true or false. I unsettle all things in my intention not to judge the equivalency that the circle I'm in is going to lead me back inevitably to where I am. No facts are to me sacred. None are profane. I simply experiment, an endless seeker with no past at all. Thus there is no sleep, no pause, no preservation, but all things renew and germinate and spring each moment. Why should we import rags and relics into the new hour? Nature abhors the old, and old age seems the only disease, and all others run into this one, and we call it by many names: fever, intemperance, insanity, stupidity, crime. They are all forms of old age. They are rest, appropriations, inertias, not newness, not the way outward. We grizzle every day. I see no need of it. While we converse with what is above us, we do not grow old, but grow young in the idea that it's possible for us to compensate. Infancy, youth, receptive, aspiring with religion, I looking upward, counts itself nothing and abandons itself to the instructions flowing from all sides. But the man and woman of 70 assumes to know all they have outlived their hope, and this is nonsense. And they renounce aspiration, accepting the actual for the necessary, and talk down to the young. Let them then become organs of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Let them be lovers. Let them behold truth, and their eyes are uplifted, and their wrinkles are smoothed, and they are perfumed again with hope and power. This old age ought not to creep on a human being's mind. In nature, every moment is new. The past is always swallowed and forgotten. The coming only is sacred. Nothing is secure but life in its transition, the energizing spirit. No love can be bound by oath to secure it against a higher love. No truth so sublime, but it may be trivial tomorrow in the light of a new thought or a new idea that I'm offering you now. People wish to be settled. Only as far as they are unsettled is there any hope for them. Can you hear this? Life, is a series of surprises. We do not guess today the mood and the pleasure and the power of tomorrow when we are building up our own being. Of lower states of active routine and sense, we can tell somewhat, but the masterpieces of God, the total growths and universal movements of the soul, he hides because they are incalculable. I can know that truth is divine and helpful, but how it should help me, I can have no guess. So to be is the sole inlet of so to know, and by knowing, I may act as a vehicle of the pretense of my certainty. The difference between talents and character is adroitness to keep the old and trodden round, and power and courage to make a new road to a new and better goal. Character makes an overpowering presence, a cheerful, determined hour, which fortifies all the company by making them see that much is possible and excellent that was not thought of before in my mind. Character dulls the impression of particular events. Once more, character of mind dulls the impression of particular events. When we see the conqueror, we do not think of any one battle or success. We see that he had exaggerated the difficulty. It was easy to him. The great man is not convulsible or tormentable. Events pass over him without much impression. This is how forgiveness works. Listen. See what I have overcome? See how cheerful I am? See how completely I have triumphed over these black events? Not if they still remind me of the black event. True conquest is the causing the calamity to fade and disappear as an early cloud of insignificant result in a history so large and advancing that it's the idea of the entirety of me. Compensation that I'm going to offer you in this lovely idea of the circulation of ourself in the event of the compensation is going to be offered to you in the case of the idea of an essay, all right, on what we term, and the word is circle, or the idea, in the compensation that I intend to give to you for these next 4 minutes. Now, in the possession of my mind, I'm going to teach here just for a moment. In the possession of my mind, in the idea of how I feel about myself, say to me, I have lost my fear.
I have lost my fear.
The entirety of the compensation of an act of forgiving the necessity to defend myself, all right, are the compensation that I receive in the idea of space-time each time I let the idea of not holding on to an old experience that is simply going to lead me in another circle that may appear to extend for a very long length of time. Let's look at the idea. Holographic universe. Now, the reflection of light that you just gave me appeared to have a quality that I didn't recognize. Now, since it's impossible for me not to recognize it within my compensation, the compensation of recognition defeats the idea that I'm going to use the idea of pi. Yet, since man has begun its idea of itself by establishing a distance in which we appear to be separate, and we use the term Holy Spirit of tachyon, field of energy, from each other, we can maintain an energy factor of light that for that moment is invisible for us. Here's the difficulty we encounter that most of you are now overcoming. There may suddenly appear before you, this is directly from the idea of Ralph Waldo Emerson, or Jesus Christ of Nazareth, or most particularly, Rumney, in the compensation for the love that I'm going to express for you as a prophet, regardless of what you tell me. That is, the action of my mind in attempting to distinguish, look here, between this action of compensation of pi is not concerned about the variation of one, but rather the inclusion of one within the nature that the idea of the singularity of life can only be expressed in the idea of space-time as a circle. The compensation that I'm feeling here in the idea of my life with you at this moment in the consciousness of awakening is to offer you, and this has to do with your body formulation, but most particularly to do with the accumulation of thought forms of memory in which you compensate ideas that a whole universe is waiting for you out there, although it doesn't seem to be contained within this circle. Is this so? Listen to me one moment about this. An astonishing theory called the holographic principle holds that the universe is like a hologram. Just as a trick of light allows a fully three-dimensional image to be recorded on a flat piece of film, our seemingly three-dimensional universe could be completely equivalent to alternative quantum fields and physical laws painted on a distant vast surface. Physics of black holes, immensely dense concentrations of mass, provides a hint that the principle might be true, and studies of black holes show that although it defies common sense, the maximum entropy or information content of any region of space is defined not by its volume, but by its surface area. What an amazing idea that my whole principle of the idea of the compensation of Homo sapien will always be in regard both to the moment of time that I'm feeling with you and the space that seems to surround me. Now, if I have lost my fear of the idea of the containment of a single moment in time within the theory of the idea of a black hole, which would be what totality of darkness is, I will have and did have within my relationship of compensation the entirety of a dark moment of light, which immediately prevailed itself into the aspects of the light that I'm feeling with you in a reflection that I'm offering to you singularly and individually in the compensation of the classroom that you have come into with me, along with Rumney, along with Ralph Waldo Emerson, along with Albert Einstein, along with the idea of compensations within your own mind, in the admission, finally, that the life that I'm feeling for you and the love that I'm expressing for you will be included in with what appears to be the universe out there. And that I may feel a moment of intense fear in the darkness, you call this death, and the idea that I'm going to use up the arrangement of myself. But you can, listen, you can't use up eternal life. Life is going to be what it is, regardless of what you think it is, and this is the whole idea of why we teach it as pi. I can extend it any length of time, but what I'm going to end up with is that the relative distance between you and I in the factoring of the singularity of life are what life is, and that I can teach you in the idea of compensation that you may disappear and appear anywhere out in the universe. I love to teach. Because you know perfectly well the storyline that we're telling each other, that is told by all of us here, is the compensation for the conversion of a stem cell research with the glorification of myself within a mass density, and I'm going to end up with you, within a mass density of exchange, are actually, if I don't defend myself, you may momentarily appear to attack me. This is the entire compensation of the idea of loving your enemy. I'm going to love you in our certainty that we're all going to come from the same sort. I'm going to do it emotionally, I'm going to do it mentally, I'm going to do it physically, and I'm going to do it with the certainty that this is the time within your idea that having journeyed out a long distance and having reached a conclusion within your own mind of the idea of zero, I'm not going to attempt to determine what pi is. I'm going to enjoy the labor of the exchange that you and I are having now, and that the love I'm feeling for you are definitions of how we were successful in the compensation of the offering, that there's nothing new and unique about the disappearance of the moment that we spent the entirety of space-time. In this entirety of space-time. In this entirety of space-time. Thank you for that.